This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sharafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliban kathiran kathira. From Mabadu, my dear brothers and sisters, we are on the story of Musa alayhi salam and Firaun. And as I have mentioned to you before, and I remind myself anew, that the purpose of this story, and of course the purpose of all the stories of the Quran, is only one, which is to help us to learn the lessons of success in this life painlessly. There are two ways to learn. One is painfully, by making mistakes, suffering the consequences, paying the price, and then learning from that. And the other option is to learn from the mistakes of others, to look at the stories of others, look at their mistakes, learn what not to do, see their successes, learn what to do. And that is a painless way, because you don't pay the price for it. Somebody else paid the price, but alhamdulillah, because you were intelligent enough to learn from their life, you get to learn that lesson without actually paying the price. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity of doing in the Quran, of learning from the mistakes of others. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to learn and to practice these learnings in our life. Now, in the case of Firaun, in the last lesson, last class, we talked about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the different forms, the different punishments, the different tests, the different tribulations that were sent to Firaun and to the people of Firaun, which were the flood, the locusts, the lice, the frogs, the blood, one after the other, sign after sign after sign. And every time they had one of these problems, they would go running to Musa alayhi salam. They would say, "Ya Musa alayhi salam, make dua to your Rabb, ask your Rabb to lift this punishment, to ask your Rabb to save us from this difficulty, and we will become obedient and we will allow your people to go." But when Musa alayhi salam made the dua and this punishment was lifted, they went back to their old ways. And this continued until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to shut the door of hidayat for them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "So we took retribution from them, we drowned them in the sea because they belied and they denied our ayat, our evidence, our signs." My brothers and sisters, this is one of the most important things to remember, that alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. He is the sustainer, he is the maintainer, he is the owner of everything that we know and we do not know. Just think about that, that this universe itself, they tell us that the visible universe, right, is 21 billion light years across. I mean, you know, these numbers, they have really no meaning if we look at them in real terms. Because what is one light year? Now, light travels at a speed of 300,000 miles per second. So you are saying here that there is something which is traveling, a particle that is traveling 300,000 miles per second. This particle travels therefore how many miles in 1 minute, 60 seconds, then how many miles in 1 hour, which is 60 minutes, and then how many miles in 24 hours, which is 1 day, and then how many miles in 365 days, that is one light year. Now, here they're saying 21 billion, 21,000 million light years. And Allah knows best. I mean, these are all estimates. These are not exact numbers. And now that is the visible universe, and if that's going across the visible universe from one side to the other, whatever that means. I mean, I feel very sort of at sea when I talk about these things. But I'm just saying this to give us, if it is possible, an idea of what we are saying when we say Allah is the owner of everything. This visible universe, there is a very nice video of this person trying to explain the size of the visible universe, and I'm going to ask Azhar Umair to put the link to that video in the description of this video, where he does a very little experiment. He says, take a grain of sand on the tip of your finger, hold this finger at an arm's length, shut one eye and look at the finger. He says the piece of sky that grain of sand blocks out is the size of the visible universe. That's how big it is. And that has got literally billions of galaxies the size of our Milky Way. I'm not talking about the solar system, I'm talking about the galaxy itself. Our Milky Way galaxy has millions of stars like our sun, and there are billions of galaxies of the size of the Milky Way in this piece of sky which is blocked out by this grain of sand. Really, I mean, I think even trying to understand these figures has no meaning, but it's good, alhamdulillah, to see the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is warning us, when he is explaining something to us, when he is showing us something, this is obviously for our benefit, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah who was samad, he has no needs. He has no need for your and my approval. He has no need for our disapproval. It doesn't make any difference to him. Our approval and disapproval doesn't make any difference even to this world, right? The take, for example, as I'm sitting and talking to you here, I can look out and I can see some birds outside. Do you think that bird cares a hoot about what I think? Do you think that bird cares a hoot about whether I think it is beautiful or not beautiful? Right? Even the creatures of this world, creatures of this earth, they don't care anything at all about our approval and disapproval. What about the creator of the universe and heavens and the earth? So it's not a question of, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a way of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us a way of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed us for our benefit. Who benefits if we have a world which is just and fair and compassionate, which is peaceful? Who benefits? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala care? We benefit with the in a world which is full of war and all kinds of problems. Who feels the pain? We feel the pain, right? Now instead of that, if we don't want to listen to that, if I think that I'm doing a favor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by obeying Him, then I'm fooling myself. I mean, then I must be the biggest fool in the world. So here were these people. The reason I'm saying all this is because when we understand this, then what happens is that even if we make a mistake, and we will make a mistake, believe me, I mean, the best of people make mistakes. Rasulullah said, "Kullu bani Adam khatta'un, khairul khatta'un tawabun." He said, all the sons of Adam alayhi salam, all the children of Adam, all human beings, are people who make mistakes. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent. So therefore, we all make mistakes. We will all continue to make mistakes. That is not a problem. The issue is to stick on the mistake, to insist on the mistake, to insist that the mistake is not a mistake, that it is my right, that it is something that I will do, that I refuse to change. Now this is the problem, right? This adamancy, this stubbornness, this is the problem. If a person makes a mistake and is immediately contrite, is immediately regretful, is immediately sorry, if the mistake concerns the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and regrets and expresses his regret and begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for pardon. If the mistake was something which was zulm on somebody else, on a human being, if the mistake was something which denied people their rights, then this person is regretful, goes and apologizes to that person, whoever's rights were transgressed, and then this person, begs their pardon, this person makes amends, this person compensates them for their loss. He does all that, alhamdulillah, there's no problem. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him, people will forgive him, and on the contrary, this person will be respected as someone who is fair and just, and as someone who is who is not adamant on his or her, within quote so-called right. There's no right to do wrong. Think about this, there's no right to do wrong. Today, this is the problem with us. We think that it's our right to make mistakes, it's our right to commit crimes, it's our right to do wrong. It's not. Nobody has a right to do wrong. You may do wrong because we are human beings, we do wrong, we forget, we make mistakes. But then what is right is to make amends, is to apologize, is to repent. So when we don't do that, and when we continue and we move from making a mistake to demanding that this mistake be accepted as my right. Now, that's a different ballgame altogether. Believe me, that's something else. Because making a mistake and considering it a mistake is one thing, but to demand that this mistake is the right thing to do, that is a different, that's a different perspective altogether. Now, when that happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah is infinitely merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely patient, but after a point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't say the patience of Allah runs out, because there's nothing that belongs to Allah runs out, but the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that after so many times, whatever number of times it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shuts the door of repentance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away that opportunity. So here you had the opportunity. It's like, in baseball, 3 strikes and you're out. So if you say, but why 3 strikes? Why can't I have 300 strikes? No, you can't. You had 3 strikes, you had 3 opportunities, and that's it. After that, you are out. So this is the important thing to understand. And this is what the people of Firaun didn't understand. This is what people don't seem to understand, which is that There comes a time when the door of tawbah, the door of repentance, will be shut. Now, the other thing which also fools people all the time is our so-called knowledge, where we get confused between why and how. Now, I mentioned this before as well. Why is the reason you do something, how is the way in which that thing is done or that thing happened. So in the case of Musa alayhi salam, miracles and these tests that happened with the people of Iran, then one of the possibilities is that since these were people actually very, very knowledgeable people, they had a lot of knowledge of the time. The people who built the pyramids, for example, they were not exactly ignorant people. So one possibility, and this is my thinking and my reasoning. One possibility is that they could have got involved into the mechanics of the thing and saying, how did this happen? Without thinking of saying, but why did it happen? Now, how it happened is the mechanics of it, can be anything. But why it happened is because we were disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter how well we understand why it is happening, it will not stop, and we cannot stop it until we address the why, until we correct the why. This is very important to understand. For example, in one beautiful hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, which is in Ibn Majah, Rasulullah mentioned five different things, where he said that these five things, and I mentioned this hadith in detail in the Living Islam lecture, so you can listen to that there. But just one of them is Rasulullah said that when immorality increases and is done publicly, and this is the condition, that immorality increases in people and is done publicly, where immorality from being considered immoral starts being considered a right. People say, this is my right. I have a right to do it. I have a right to make these choices. I have a right to have these relationships. A relationship outside of marriage is adultery. A relationship outside of marriage is between a man and a woman is not permissible in any religion. All religions prohibit it, but some people of some of these religions they choose to turn a blind eye to this on all kinds of pretexts. They say, we can't get so hard about these things, because then people will go away from the religion, and instead of coming to the mosque or coming to the church, they will stop coming. So let them keep coming. So we will tolerate this and we will tolerate that. Whereas Islam says, no, we are not here to get popularity ratings. We are here to establish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is for the benefit of all concerned. So when there is one person who is breaking the law, we will, in a very nice way, cut off their heads. We're saying in a very nice way, we will tell them that they're wrong. We are not going to keep quiet about something which is wrong. We are going to tell them, stop doing that, do not do it, this is wrong, this is harmful. It's like somebody making a hole in a boat, and we say, no, let the person be in the boat. It doesn't matter if they're making a hole. If enough people make holes in the whole boat will sink. If there are people who think that it is their right to make holes in the boat, then really you don't need such people in the boat, because those people are going to sink the whole boat. So what is right, what is wrong, we cannot accept what is wrong in the name of masliha, in the name of diplomacy, in the name of hikmah, in the name of wisdom, in the name of, all of this stuff. No, what is right, what is wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear. He said, if you see something wrong, stop it with your hand. He didn't say, if you see something wrong, leave it alone, doesn't matter, it's okay. No, he said, it is not okay, it is definitely not okay. If it is wrong, it is wrong, so stop it. So this is, so when people don't do that, then you establish in your society, you establish evil and you establish sin and you establish wrongdoing as a right. Now this is obviously an excuse for halaka. It's an excuse for completely destroying yourself. And this is what the people of Firaun did. They destroyed themselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then we drowned them. So now what is the lesson we learn from this? The lesson we learn from this is, we look at things which are happening to us at any time in history. Look at the things which are happening to us and don't get involved in the how of it. Ask also the question, why is it happening? So today, for example, we are living in COVID times. Let us ask, why is this happening? Don't get involved in, vaccine, no vaccine, no. It's a strange thing. People don't want to take the vaccine for COVID, although they've taken the vaccine for polio. Now, what's the big difference? Right? People don't want to take the COVID vaccine. The entire medical establishment is saying, take the vaccine, it is beneficial for you. It will prevent you from getting the infection. It's something that is, that will save you from being infected. And then there is some one guy who you never heard of, right? He says, I am a doctor, I have won this prize, that prize. And all these people who are saying take a vaccine, this entire medical establishment, these are a bunch of scoundrels, they are thieves and so on. You want to forget the whole medical establishment and you want to believe this one guy. You don't even know who the guy is, because anyone can pretend to be anybody on the internet. But that, you know, that brain is taken away from us. Think about this. My point is, forget about that. Forget everybody. Ask yourself, why is it that we in our lifetimes are seeing diseases that we never saw before? Why? Not saying how. Why? Why is it that we are seeing diseases that we never saw before? Now, Rasulullah ﷺ told us why. He said, when immorality increases in society and when people consider it to be their right, when immorality is indulged in and it is done in public because people consider it to be their right, when that happens, then diseases will appear among them which their predecessors never saw. Then they will get new diseases which were never there before. And he said these diseases will spread in the land. I remember I lived in a world in which there was no AIDS. I remember the world in which there was no AIDS. I remember the first time we heard about AIDS. Once again, don't get involved into, this is Bill Gates and Bill Gates did that and he spread AIDS. I mean, imagine the number of things that are ascribed to this poor man. May Allah have mercy on him. Huh? He is the one who is supposed to have spread AIDS, and now he is the one who is going to insert a chip through the vaccine into your blood so that he tracks you. You really think you are so interesting that somebody wants to track you? What's this? We have AIDS. Then we had SARS. Now we have COVID. In between we had bird flu. Now think about this. Please think about this. Why are we seeing disease after disease forget about parents and grandparents, even we didn't see it. Our parents definitely didn't see it. Grandparents definitely did not see it. Even we did not see it. I am 65 years old. I'll be 62 if I 66 in October, if I live that long. But the point is that in my own lifetime, there are at least 4 or 5 diseases that I did not know about. And not because I'm ignorant, but because they were not there. We have to ask ourselves these questions. And that is why we have these stories in the Quran. Nothing changes, huh? In, I don't know, a couple of thousand years between Musa alayhi salam and us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, finally we shut the door. We close the door for them and that's it. Now, I'm not saying here, people here of course are today talking about, global warming and so on, and they're talking about mass extinction, all of these things. Allah knows best what will happen. But the point is that all that doesn't have to happen. We have to look at our own self and say, mass extinction or not, one day I am going to die. As far as I'm concerned, that is the end of my story. Whether the world continues or doesn't continue, whether the human race continues or not, makes no difference to me, because I will be 6 feet under. And I will be answering questions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what I did or I failed to do. And at that point in time, I can't talk, nobody's going to ask me, tell us about what's happening to the rest of the world. I will be questioned about myself, and I will have to answer questions about myself. And that is why it is very important to understand this and to remember this and to take lessons from these beautiful stories of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked also about the arrogance of Fir'aun, right? He said, for example, that he said, وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ in Surah Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِهِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون, and so on. He said, and Pharaoh proclaimed among his people, saying, "O my people, is it not my dominion? Right? Is not my dominion the dominion of Egypt? And these rivers flowing underneath me, do you not see? Am I not better than this one, which is Musa alayhi salam, who is mahin? He has no honor, no respect. He is weak, despicable. He is poor and can scarcely express himself clearly. Why then are not golden bracelets bestowed on him, or angels sent along with him?" Thus he, Pharaoh, befooled and misled his people, and they obeyed him. Verily, they were ever a people who were fasiqoon. فاستخف قومه فأطاعوه إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Now think about this. What are our standards today? Here is Pharaoh. Pharaoh is saying, very simple, it is very simple. I am better than Musa. And why am I better than Musa? Because I have more money. I have more money, I have more wealth, I have more... If he was good, how come he doesn't have golden bracelets? Why is he not wearing gold? Why is he not wearing jewelry? Why are angels not walking with him in the street? Think about this. This is what the Mushrikeen of Makkah, they said to Rasulullah as well, right? What are our standards? What we need to learn from here is what are our standards today about who is honorable and who is not honorable? In our language, in Urdu, we say bahut bada aadmi hai. So what does it mean? Does it mean he is 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide? Does it mean that he weighs 500 kilograms? No. Bada aadmi means what? It means only one thing. He is a wealthy man. Do we even bother to think about how did he get his wealth? Now please understand, I'm not assuming and I'm not implying that every wealthy person only got wealth in a haram way, that there is something intrinsically wrong with wealth. No. There is nothing intrinsically wrong with wealth, and there is nothing romantic about poverty. It is how we earn and how we spend. It's not how much we earn. This is what Pharaoh is trying to do. Pharaoh is trying to reflect a different standard. This is what Qarun did as well. And Qarun was one from among the people of Musa alayhi salam. Which is, how much? How much do I have? So Pharaoh is saying, well, you know, I mean, I am the king. I am the ruler. Of course, he used to say he is God. He claimed divinity. And he said, these rivers are flowing under me. This is like an ant sitting on top of an elephant. And the elephant crosses a bridge. And the bridge, because of the weight of the elephant, it kind of shakes a bit. And the ant says, wow, fantastic. Look at this. You know, the bridge is shaking because I'm crossing. You forget the elephant. So here is Pharaoh saying, oh, these rivers are flowing under me, under you. Jump into the river and you see where the river is flowing. The rivers are flowing under me. I mean, I'm so powerful, I own the river. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. And I am better than Musa. And what is the alayhi salam, and what is the standard? Look at him. He's a poor man. He's got one shirt, he's got one thobe. He's got a stick in his hand. Where is the gold? Where is the jewels? Where are the weapons? Where is the army? Think about our standards today. What do we aspire for? Who do we look up to? Who do we look down on? I can say this, I can give you a guarantee. Try this out. Sit in any gathering, illa mashallah, and tell the people, ask the people one simple question. Tell them, name for me 5 great people in the world today. Who are 5 great people in the world today? I will tell you that almost, I can probably be absolutely certain, they will give you the names of 5 billionaires, 5 big businessmen. Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and who's the 5th one? Donald Trump, huh? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Anywhere you go, you ask this question, they will give you the names of 5 billionaires and probably all 5 men. How many people are there who will name, in these five people, people who will name great scientists, people who will name a great teacher, people who will name great scholars, not only Muslims, anybody, people who will name the discoverers of something really valuable? Almost nobody. Almost no one. Because our whole orientation is only the one thing, which is making money. And we don't even make the money. We just look up to those who make money. We are like those people who looked at Qarun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, when Qarun came out in a procession, and he had, you know, his wealth with him and whatnot, and Allah knows best what was in the procession, but he came out in this with his huge entourage, and people looked at him, and there were many people who said, oh, I wish I was like Qarun. I wish Allah had given me like he gave him. Isn't that our state today? When you look at somebody who has wealth, oh wow, man, look at his car. I wish I had a car like that. Oh wow, look at that billion-dollar house. Look at his mansion. And we don't look at one step beyond that, which is to say, oh wow, look at that janaza. Look at that casket there. Look at that coffin. This is the coffin, this is the body of this man who built his house. This is the body of this woman who owned that business or those cars. That is our reality. That is where we are going, no matter what. As I told you, I'm not against wealth. No way at all. I'm not allergic to money. How we earn and where we spend. Otherwise, those are our standards. And these were the standards of the people of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh said, I am a big man. I am worthy of respect. I am worth something because my net worth is more than that of Musa alayhi salam. And my submission to you is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us these stories so that we learn from them. So that we remind ourselves that this is the nature of humanity, and nothing has changed. Today also we do the same thing. Now my point is, Allah is telling us a story of people worldly wise they had it all. They had a great civilization, they had a lot of wealth, they had a lot of knowledge and so on and so forth. But they were disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were people who were worshipping their own king. And the king had set himself up as an icon, as somebody to be worshipped. He claimed divinity. And his priests and so on had created this elaborate mythology to support this claim of divinity. And Musa alayhi salam came and said, you are wrong. The only divine, the only one who is worthy of worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all this oppression you are doing is wrong. So stop oppressing people. Let them go. What do we do today? What are our standards? Today we look down upon our own ulama. On what basis? Because they don't drive your fancy cars. Because they don't live in your big houses. You look down upon the ulama. You treat them with disdain. And even where somebody might argue, I remember I had this conversation with someone where they wanted an imam for their masjid. And so I recommended to them an imam. And they asked me, what would be a reasonable salary for him? So I asked this person, I said, what would be a reasonable salary for you? He said, no, but I'm not doing imamat. I said, yeah, because what you are doing in terms of value is much less. The Imam is the leader of the community. He is reciting Quran, he is going to lead your salah and you are going to pray behind him. You are going to say, I am praying 4 rakat of salah, of salatul zuhr, under this Imam, tabe of this Imam, behind this Imam. I am going to be following him in the salah. So what do you think his salary should be? Because the tradition is to pay the Imams, you know, just at the poverty line. I'm talking about India. But I think the same thing applies in most places. Pay the Imam the least that you can pay him. And if somebody argues in favor, in against that and says, look, you have to pay the man more. Oh, but why does he need it? Why does he need it? Ask yourself, why do you need it? Why do you need it? At the same time, you talk about the hadith of Rasulullah by Rasulullah said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. So for yourself, you want the best car, the best house, the best money and the best everything else. And for the Imam, some piece of trash is okay. Yet, you will stand behind this Imam and you pray your salah. What does it tell us about ourselves as Muslims? What does it tell us about ourselves as people who claim to follow the Quran, people who claim to follow Rasulullah, people who claim to be on right guidance, when we do not even respect our own scholars, where we treat our scholars as if they are trash? Right? Think about that. What does it tell us about our standards? And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows in our own lifetime. We have our children who have no respect for us. Children openly insult their parents. They're not just disobedient, but they are insulting. How does that happen? It happens because of the standards. It happens because of what we have chosen to do with respect to ourselves and the kind of standards we have created for ourselves and our society. Right? My brothers and sisters, think about this, that today, if you look at it and say, what is the standard of our success? What is the standard of success that we have for ourselves? And what do we choose for ourselves if we are given a choice? This is a sign of the corruption of people. A sign of corruption of people and a sign of corruption of their leadership. That they choose only that which is of this kind. They choose for themselves things which are purely material. Ask parents to describe, you know, what do you want for your child? The future of your child, what do you want your child to be? And see how many people say, I want my child to be a doctor, an engineer, a great businessman, and this and that and the other. And how many people say, I want my child to be righteous. I want my child to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want my child to love Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want my child to be a kind person, to be compassionate. I want my child to be honest. I want my child to be a person of integrity. I want my child to be a person who is faithful to his spouse. How many people say this? And then we wonder, how come we have a society which is so full of all kinds of evil? You get what you pay for. This is when righteousness is not even our goal. It's not even on the wish list. Forget about being somewhere. Is it your number one wish? No. Is it number two, number three, number four, number 10? No, it's not even on the list. When righteousness, when obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even on the list, what do we expect?
Then we say, oh, but why is this happening to us? Why is what happening to us? You jump into the sea and you say, oh, but why am I getting wet? What kind of question is that? Seriously, I remind myself and you, let's get real. Let's stop playing jokes and with ourselves. Let's stop trying to fool ourselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes before they are opened for us by Malakul Maut. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَعْبِهِ اجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ